Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Let's ask the Lord to bless His word this morning. We are considering Psalm 27. Psalm has been so beautiful, beautiful. I hope that you've been looking into the Psalms to get refined gold from Psalm to meet the needs that you have in your daily life. So God is so good. Today is Psalm 27. Lord, we thank you so much for today. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Your presence is here. Your people are gathered. It is so good that you want to speak to us as a body, as a church, so that, Lord, your word from Psalm 27, Lord, you want to use it to feed our inner soul, to feed the emotions inside of us, so that, Lord, we can worship you in spirit and in truth. So today, let your word, like the song say, be so free like fire. Be so free like fire to stir our hearts up, to burn things up if there are things to be burned up, but to stir us up, O Lord, into a fervor, into a zeal for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title I give to this sermon today is To Wait in Hope. To wait has got a lot of emotions. Some of you would be waiting in patience. Some of you will be waiting in impatience. But waiting in hope, I think, is an exhilarating experience. Waiting in hope. So I try to make it as simple as I can to help myself understand. Usually when I preach, I must make myself understand first. So how to make myself understand is like waiting in hope is like, I heard from some people that Ipudo is up and going. First outlet in Perth at Yagan Square. And so when I got wind of that and with a couple of friends, we thought, yes, we're going to go to Ipudo and have our first Ipudo ramen. So from the day we decided to go, to the day that we had the first bowl, or I had my first bowl of Ipudo ramen, was that waiting in hope. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you are smiling. Some of you may not have Ipudo in mind, but you've got other places in mind. But it's like when you heard something so good. I know. When I told my daughters, this is Sydney a lot. I said, I know, but first, only one. When you heard something so good and you want to try it, from the time you wait, from that time to the time you actually realize it, your dream is realized, that period is exhilarating. It's what I call waiting in hope. I hope this is not trivializing God's word, but in Psalm 27, the psalmist shows us that when we wait in hope for God, it is an exhilarating experience. That's why in the end verse of Psalm 27, psalmist says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord. And then he thought, just in case you don't get it, remember what I said? When some people repeat it, means they want you to know it's really, really important. And so the psalmist says, in case you didn't get it, all right, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Wow. It screams out to you to wait for the Lord. Not just wait for the Lord, like not sure, but be wait for the Lord, be strong, take courage, be strong, take heart, wait for the Lord. I reckon if you want to wait for the Lord, in hope, you need to understand two things about God. One thing is that you need to know that there is goodness in the land of the living. You need to know that your future has good. You need that to know that afterwards your lunch will be good. If not, then it's a little bit hard looking forward to lunch afterwards. Am I correct? You need to know that goodness exists, is evident in the land of the living. Where we live, goodness is possible. That's why the psalmist says in verse 13, he says, I remain confident of this. I'm very confident, the psalmist says. I will see, not I may see, I might see. I will see the goodness of the Lord. So for those who are waiting, maybe you're waiting for a breakthrough. Maybe you're waiting for a very tough season to pass by. Let the old pass away and let the new year bring out its new blessings. Maybe you're waiting for something. It will make it really bearable for you if you wait in hope when you know that there's going to be good in the future. When the goodness of the Lord is present in the land of the living. The second thing that makes waiting in hope really good and easier, if you're waiting really a long time, is to know that God is your light, your salvation, and your stronghold. When you have got a real knowledge of God, that God is indeed the light, He is indeed the salvation and your stronghold, as in verse 1 of Psalm 27, everything changes. Everything changes when you wait for a God like that. Everything changes in your life when you're waiting for a God that will show up as the light, who will show up as your Savior, who will be there for you when you call upon Him. It's worth the waiting. It's worth the waiting. And that's why David in Psalm 27 found the key. The key to enter into a space where nothing can terrify you anymore. He says, "My Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There's no one I need to fear. There's nothing I need to be afraid." Because he found the key. The key is when you wait in hope of the God who promises goodness in the land of the living and who promises that He is the light, He is your salvation, and He is your stronghold. To some of us who don't like waiting, I am not a fan of waiting, but I've learned to wait. You know, 59 years of your life, there will be many, many pockets of your life that you need to wait. I'm not a fan of waiting. I'm not, I think, in terms of my personality, not created to wait. But God has put into me many pockets of periods of my life where I have got to wait. And it's really good because waiting is actually your worship to God. This morning we have songs. That's your worship to the Lord. You have been working for 5 days, Monday to Friday. Your work has been a worship to God. But waiting is also your worship to God. Because when you wait, you begin to see God most active in changing you and changing the circumstances around you. I feel it's so good, Pastor. This is the last sermon. It's so good to give one last gold nugget to the church. I believe the church is really powerful. I believe, like what I preached the last time in Psalm 46, the river that comes into the city of God to make the city of God glad. If you have that river of being able to wait before God, that is the gold nugget. That is going to make you so sustainable, so long-lasting. That's going to give you longevity in your spiritual life. That's going to bring change. Waiting in God is your worship to God, and it brings change. I believe it brings, first of all, the change in your poise, in your balance, in your poise. Let's look at Psalm 27, verses 2 to 3. Today, I'm using two versions. A few verses, I'm using the NIV version. And then for most part of the scriptures today, I'll use the Message because it's really, really good when you read the Message on Psalm 27. It says there, "When evil men ride down ready to eat me alive, those bullies and thugs fall flat on their faces. When besieged, I'm calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I'm collected and cool." You read these verses, you kind of like think, how is it possible? How is it possible that when evil people, bullies and thugs, ready to eat you alive, ready to besiege you, ready to make life difficult for you, ready to make all hell breaks loose, how is it possible to sleep like a baby? How is it possible to be cool and collected and calm? It is not possible. Actually, it is a survival instinct God puts into us. That when something is dangerous, when someone is dangerous, God will give us something in our body to survive that threat. And that is, sometimes we can fight, sometimes we can flee, we can run away, or sometimes we freeze. God gave us some of these mechanisms to be able to deal with life. But sometimes we overuse it. God gives us a lot of hormones in our body. God gives us a lot of instincts in our body. But sometimes we overuse it. Because sometimes our mind are fed with so many things that when something threatens us, we want to fight. Or when something is too difficult, we want to flee. We want to go away. God maybe thinks fleeing one day is good. But sometimes we like to flee for 1 year. The people of Israel want to flee for 40 years, you know. Sometimes we overdo it. When we learn to survive in our world by some of these things are okay, but they don't get us very far. Can you imagine if we have been threatened by people and we fight all the time? It's very tiring, no, actually, to fight with people all the time. Like before you go to the office, you know that guy is going to give you a hard time. So you tell yourself, I have so many mechanisms inside of me. I have so much strength inside. I'm going to fight him. Can you imagine every day you go to work and you think, I'm just going to be better. I'm just going to be smarter. I'm just going to fight the whole time. I'm going to be strong. You know how tiring that is? That's really tiring. Or if we want to retreat, we want to flee, like, I'm not going to fight him. I can't win him. I can't win. Why him? It can be her. I don't want to win her. I'm just going to, when she's in the bathroom, of course it's in the bathroom. If she's in the kitchen, then I'll go somewhere else. Of course in the bathroom, you got to go somewhere else. But if it's in the kitchen, I'll go to another part of the office. We flee. Do you know that sometimes when we flee, you can get all the time defensive and you don't enjoy life? There are some people who would say, if she's in that space, I will not be in that space. So you have to like hunt around, like make sure that person is not in that space. That's really tiring. And that's not enjoying life as well. Or if you freeze every time this person speaks and you just kind of like freeze, you know, that's not going to bring you very, very far. If we allow a lot of all these external cues to determine how we feel in life, then many things can affect you. Worry can get you. Anxiety can get you. Many things can get us. But here we read that when we wait on God and believe that He is our light and our salvation, God will bring us an illumination. He will tell us how weak we are, and He will tell us that He is our Savior. And when we wait on Him, He will open up pathways in the desert. He will open up springs in the desert. When there is no way, God makes a way. Why? Because God is the light. He is the illumination. He will open up our brain regions that are sometimes only in the survival mode, that only wants to fight or flee or freeze. God will block those parts of your brain. It is scientifically proven. If we are patient, if we wait, then these things will be blocked and we are able to go forward with no fear and with the confidence that God has given us. That's why when David, the psalmist, entered into that zone, he says, whom shall I fear? Of whom am I afraid? He entered that space. He waited on God and he entered that space where God shows himself up as the light. In verse 1, if you look at verse 1, he shows himself as the light. He is the one who can illuminate. He shows himself as the fortress where you are perpetually hidden from the enemy. You are protected. You may not see it, but angels protect us. When we acknowledge God as our fortress, then what is happening is that he is the commander of the fortress. He will make sure that if you're going through a war, you will be perpetually hidden from the enemy. Because God is a fortified city. God is strong. And in verse 10, we are told that God is our guardian. He is not just the commander of the army. He's the guardian. The guardian who will come with his tender care. And then in verse 9, he is our helper. He will come with his timely and emergency aid. You see, our God comes. There's a change of your poise. If you wait on God, there will be a change in your poise, in the way you approach life. I've been told as a young Christian, and Pastor, you would have also got this, we were always told that Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. And it's true. Christianity is a relationship. It is an experience of the person of Jesus. It's an experience of Jesus as the helper, as the guardian, as the fortress, as the light. It's an experience of the person of Jesus. You see, if you want to know how apple strudel tastes like, then you need to try the apple strudel from Corriga. Now, I think Freddy Strudel also do apple strudel. So now we've got two places you can try apple strudel. If you want to taste how apple strudel tastes like, you need to go and experience. If I tell you it's like a custard, you know, in the inside, and it's really fragrant, and it's really nice, it's quite sweet, you know, and it has got the pastry. If I tell you, you may appreciate what I'm telling you, but you don't really get it. You know what I'm saying? You need to go and buy it to experience it, so that when people say apple strudel, you say, ah, the world's best apple strudel is at that Lake Street Corriga. You know it. So the same thing. Christianity is a relationship. You want to know how God is a helper, you need to experience Him. You need to know how sweet His word is. In fact, for always, for those Jewish children, whenever the parents read to them the Torah or the law of God, they would usually put honey on the tongue so that as they read the word of God, that sensation of that sweetness is in the tongue. So then they associate the two together. You know what this experiment is doing, huh? It's quite psychological, but it's really spiritual. Where you taste the sweetness in your tongue when you are reading the word of God. You need to experience God. When you experience God, then you're able to tell others that God is like that. Your confidence of God, your confidence in Him comes from your experience. And some of you have experienced God over and over again. And perhaps right now you are facing something that is difficult and you're waiting in hope for God. Then let me say this to you. You've experienced God in the past. The same God that you've experienced in the past is the same God who's going to deliver you again. That is God. That is God. In Psalm 40, it says, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last He looked. Finally He listened. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me from deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song. If you're able to wait and wait and know that goodness is going to come through, you wait and you wait and you know that God's real character is that He's your light and your salvation, then you can wait with poise. You can wait with calmness. You can wait with coolness, even joy. That's why Paul the Apostle says, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. Really hard to understand. But you see, if you are able to wait in hope you in God, knowing that He is good and He will bring good in the future, then you can be filled with that exhilaration and that joy of the future. It's like God is going to reveal Himself deeper yet again to you. You see, we have got so many layers. If we think we have understood God, we have not understood God. Because God has got so many things He wants to tell us. And it's like hitting a layer. It's like when something hit you and you've got to wait in hope for God, it's like God is going to reveal another layer of himself to you. That's why I get excited. I get excited. Of course, you know, there'll be pain involved, but I get excited. I wait for that joy that God is going to show me something about himself. There's a change in your poise. Don't be a thermometer. Be a thermostat. Don't just dip yourself into any environment and let the environment tell you what to do. No, you call the shots. Because in God, when we wait on him and know that he is the light and the salvation, he will come through for us. You set the temperature. You are a thermostat. In fact, Martin Luther King said this. He says, be a thermostat, not a thermometer. And we need to set the temperature. We need to tell ourselves we can be calm and we can be cool because the God that we believe in is eternal and he's got the last say and he's my light, he's my salvation, he's my helper, he's my guardian. He will come through for me. If we can think like that, then we will be able to experience the hope of the future. It's so important to have hope. If we have got no hope of the future, then ipudo noodle also won't taste so nice. If you've got no hope of your lunch, not hoping to eat your lunch and be thankful for lunch, then your lunch wouldn't be so nice. You got to set the thermostat. You got to set the temperature. And then you will bring about a poise in your inner spiritual life. Amen. Then we go further into Psalm 27. And Psalm 27 verses 4 to 6. If you are reading the message, this is how it sounds like. It says, I'm asking God for one thing. Only one thing. To live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty, I'll study at his feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world. The perfect getaway. Far from the buzz of traffic. God holds my head and shoulders above all who try to pull me down. I'm headed for this place to offer anthems that will raise the roof. Already I'm singing God's songs. I'm making music to God's presence is the perfect getaway. Yeah, it's true. I'm going to Berlin to see my kids. That's a getaway. Yeah, it's true. I'm going to Paul's missionary journey. Yeah, that's a getaway. Some of you are going places. That's a getaway. Some of you are planning something this weekend. That's a getaway. But God's presence is the perfect getaway. Because we receive from him as we receive from him, we receive new developments into our being. We receive new resources into our life. And the divine companionship of God will do something for you. It will change your mind altogether. This mind needs to last until the very last bit of our life. And God is able to download to us. God is able to infuse into us new resources, new development as we wait on him that will going to last you for a long, long time. In fact, he says, until eternity. There are three things there that the psalmist tells us we can do if we are on this perfect getaway. There are three things we can do. And it's wonderful. The first thing first is, he says, you can contemplate. You can contemplate. He says, I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, so that I can do this thing, which is to crave for God's companionship through this one aspect, and that is through contemplation. He says, I'll contemplate his beauty, and I will study at his feet. I'll contemplate his beauty, I'll study at his feet. To contemplate his beauty is to reflect, to ponder on, to calm our souls, and to know God better. Even Jesus, the Son of God, went away to a solitary place, the Bible tells us, to a side of the mountain to contemplate, to ponder on, to reflect on, because everybody wants him to perform miracles. Some of you, there are many people in your life that are demanding things from you, your bosses sometimes, your children, your cats, your dogs, they're all demanding, they're all craving for your attention, craving that you feed them and support them, la la la, so many things. And Jesus says, yeah, I know, the crowds are after me for miracles. The crowds are after me for support. He told the disciples, but I need to go away to my Father to contemplate upon His beauty. Even the Son of God needs to come aside and to be able to reflect and to ponder on what is most life-giving to Him. Because if you don't ponder before God, sometimes you give away so much. You have such a small margin of joy, such a small margin of strength, you don't know how to give any more to anybody who comes after that. And sometimes people snap. Why people snap? Because no more margin. No more strength already. Huh? And when we contemplate before God, when we reflect before God, we actually get a recharge. Because you reflect on what is most life-giving for you. This morning, Lynn said, you know, we need to appreciate God and be grateful to count your blessings. And it's so right, because when we are able to be appreciative of God, be attentive to God's goodness and blessings, you are really very aware of how God shows up for you. I thought this morning, because I'm teaching on this, I need to practice so that I can share how this can be done. So today I took out 1 hour and I did 20 minutes of contemplation. The other 40 minutes later on, I'll tell you what the other two things are. But to contemplate and to be grateful for what God is doing. And so I said, okay, Lord, you are my light this year. You have been my light. And I'm really, really grateful. And I begin to, as I contemplate on God and muse upon the beauty of God and begin to see that He is my light, wow, more and more things come into the mind and I begin to journal. So sometimes it's good to journal as well because sometimes you cannot contain everything. And so I journaled. And I remembered in 2017, oh, great darkness. Great darkness for me as a professional. Ayo, if I tell you this, I don't know what to say after that. Anyway, I got to say. 2017. As a psychologist, we need to have our continuing professional development. We need to have 30 hours of reading and courses, and then 10 hours of peer supervision. I think I've told some of you, but I won't tell you the sequel to this. And so I didn't realize I need to formally do 30 hours and 10 hours all recorded in a log. I didn't know that. So I got audited. Auditor said, I give you a chance. You go and find 30 hours and 10 hours. I said, I've no one. And so anyway, I said, okay, I'll try my very best. I sought out perfs, psychologists, and psychiatrists, right? I sought out. I said, please come on board, and let's do some peer consultation for 10 hours. Nobody did. So anyway, I told the auditor, I said, look, I have tried, I really can't. So auditor says, okay, in view of your good conduct all these years, I shall fine you double the amount. So I need to do 60 hours. Yeah, 60 hours and 20 hours of peer supervision. And I did all that. And I told the Lord, I said, oh Lord, you know, 2017 was such a world of darkness. So today, as I meditate on it, 2017, that happened. And I'm so thankful that when you are in the light of God, when you are able to contemplate and God is your light, God begin to give you new resources, new energy, new development that you cannot even dream of. And so this year, my friend came to me and my friend said, Kara, since you are in mental health, why don't you lead the mental health sphere? I said, what does it take? He says, you know, you just need to find 30 mental health practitioners. I said, 30? I can't even find one. In 2017, I got fined. And anyway, all that went through my mind. He says, take the challenge. And I said, okay, I'll just contemplate in God. And if that's what He is, the light and the salvation, then I'll pick it up. So I did. And I took it up. And came October, I need to have 30 psychologists, psychiatrists, mental health practitioners. I couldn't find anybody. Right up to the last week, I couldn't find anybody. I only had about 10 over people by the end of that month. And then all of a sudden, well, my friend got involved and get on into Facebook and everything. At the end of that month, I managed to get 35 mental health practitioners. Okay, what am I thankful for? As you begin to wait on God, God's resources begin to come. Now, instead of I go and ask for help, now these people in the 35, the list of 35 people, they ask each other for help. So now somebody is asking me, can I do CPD with her? God is great. God is great. So it's to be grateful for some of these things. So you may want to start a journal somewhere. In fact, this is a good time, end of the year. Appreciate God. Be thankful to God. When you are able to contemplate on His beauty and on His goodness, what your brain does is the brain region that is usually very afraid and very anxious and emits a lot of hormones that make you want to fight and want to flee and want to freeze. All that is blocked. When you are grateful before God, something happens in your brain that your amygdala, your emotional part of your brain, begin to be at rest. Because your stress hormones are not activated, you don't have to have any hormones to deal with difficult problems. Instead, your brain builds itself hormones and resources for you to stay calm, for you to stay collected. I pray that you will take some time to be grateful and to silence yourself and then to be able to contemplate on the goodness of God. Amen. Build into your life, cultivate a good discipline into your life. The second thing which the psalmist did was silence. He says, God, you are the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world. The second thing to cultivate is silence. You see, we don't like silence because we think silence is a waste of time. We think, yeah, nothing is happening. So don't try to be too quiet. If you're too quiet, nothing is happening, then nothing is done. Especially those who are very active. How many of you are very active? Don't raise your hand. Especially those who are very active, it's really hard to sit still, let alone to be silent. Right? Because we think that when nothing is happening, then it's a waste of time. But actually, when nothing is happening, a lot may be happening. Because the Bible tells us those who wait on the Lord will renew your strength like eagles. It is in waiting in silence before God that there can be transformation in the deepest part of your lives. Do you know Temple of Solomon? Temple of Solomon is built by not banging and clanging. It was not by nail and construction, boom, 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 drill. No, no pneumatic drill, no nothing, no cranes, no nothing. It is very silently done, so skillfully done, that corner to corner is being attached so that it stands on its own. You think this is amazing? At present day, you can still go over to China to look at that palace. And it was said that they are also put together quietly. The Temple of Solomon is built quietly. You see, in the quietness of time was the Temple of Solomon built. The same thing, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are made to wait on God, to be quiet before God. And you don't have to do a lot. You can be quiet and God will speak to you. Sometimes it's good to turn off the music if you need to, if you always need to have music on. Sometimes it's good to switch off the television just because you are back home. Doesn't mean telly has got to be on. You can deliberately turn it off and enjoy a bit of quiet in the house. Sometimes it's good to have one chair in your garden, specially dedicated to you, for you to sit quietly in that corner, just to sit and to contemplate. It is good. Or if some of you want to go for longer periods of silence to wait on God, you can. There are many places around here that you can go to. But this morning, I devoted 20 minutes in silence just to wait on God for all of us so that we can practice this ability to wait on God. So this 20 minutes
I waited in silence before God, and I never heard this, but I heard this. I heard the roaring of the traffic. I didn't know my house was so near the main road, so that usually winter I will close up all my windows, but today I opened up the windows, it's quite hot. And then when I opened up my windows, I could hear the roar of traffic coming from Charles Street. See, when you're quiet, you hear things. Amazing. And then I just hear it. And then after that, I hear the tweeting of the bird. I never knew there was a bird near my house. Anyway, I was quiet. I was listening. And I heard the tweeting of the bird. Tweet, 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 tweet. Oh, so lovely. And then God began to share a lesson. He says it's so good to be able to have a balance, isn't it? You need to have activity, of course. You need to be driving your cars and going places. There is that hustle and bustle in your life. Yeah, you need to do that. But you need to be also like the bird. Solitary, alone, chirping, hearing your own voice shatter the silence of the neighborhood. You need to be that person as well. So that's a good lesson. See, you go into silence and let the Lord speak to you. Amen. The third thing that the psalmist did to have a change in his lifestyle, in his worship, in his priority, in seeking God, was in the area of music. So if you look at verses, one of the verses there, it says, I'm headed for his place to offer anthems that will raise the roof. Already I'm singing God's songs. I'm making music to God. And this morning we had our weekly time of listening to music. But Dr. Mike Miller, the research cardiologist at this University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore, he studied the effects of things that will make people happy. And he discovered that music, whether you play music or you listen to music, is actually a de-stressor. It will reduce your stress. And what happens is when you're listening to music, the inner lining of your blood vessels are being coated with a protective layer so that your heart gets stronger, your heart gets more relaxed, you are a lot more relaxed, your mood gets changed when you are able to listen to music. Now, this is what the secular literature is saying. But I'm telling you, when we are able to come into praise and worship in the Lord is yet another level, because it's not just humanistic music, it is not just music from the soul, it is music from on high. And so when we are able to have the music in the Lord, able to partake of his presence in music, what's going to happen is your spirit man will rise up, your spirit man will be changed, because you are in the presence of God. You are in the sacredness of the presence of God. It is a supernatural experience of being filled in the spirit. Don't take for granted the first half an hour in our worship time. I would really like you to come early, you know, and come in even like when they are practicing when the team is practicing the music, just sit here and enjoy the music. Don't leave, come, stay inside and enjoy the music. Let the music speak to you. I tell you, the music of God is pregnant with the presence of God. The praise and worship of God's people is pregnant with possibilities. Sometimes you sit here and you didn't tell God anything. You just sit here, you don't tell God anything. You sit here, the music minister to you, and you have ideas. You have solutions to your problems. Why? Because God's presence is here. David, the psalmist, found that this was one expression. When he made it his priority. Oh, that's a nice thing. That's the second animation thing that I do. That's quite interesting. We need to relax. We need to really enjoy. We need to relax. Those who don't like music, okay, let somebody play music for you. You may not have an instrument. Maybe you don't play instruments. That's okay. Listen to music. Let music, especially from the throne room of God, especially Christian music, bring you into a sphere where you can hide in God, where you can feel refreshed in God. This morning, I spent 20 minutes, as I said, listening to the music, and I've not done this before. Usually, I'll put on music and I'll go to the park, I'll walk, I'll be very active. But today, I said I'll just sit on a chair in the garden. My chair's in the garden, not very well used, because don't usually go out there. So, put on the music, went out to the garden, and I sat on the chair. Praise songs. And then as I begin to hear, my hand begin to sketch. I don't usually draw a lot these days. Forgot how to draw. But as I hear the praise songs of God, I've got a pen there, my paper is there, I saw my cactus, I begin to draw. I don't know what God will show you, but you know, when God's music is played, when God's praises are sung, God does supernatural things for you. Simple things like even bring up something that you have not usually done. God just bring it up. Enjoy God's presence. And the last song I listened to was I Surrender. And in that song, it says, God is like a gentle wind. And then I got cold because this morning was a little bit cold. And I got cold because there was like a wind that comes and I can feel God. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? God shows himself up to us when we are able to, like the psalmist say, make it our priority. One thing I seek, he says, that I will be in the house of the Lord and that I will crave his divine companionship. We need to crave for God's companionship all over again, especially in the new year. We need to love and love the presence of God, because in the presence of God is your strength and your salvation. Let there be a change. I pray that let there be a change. Let Psalm 27 change your life. Amen. Amen. The last point is this. The last point is, when you have a change in your poise and your change in your priority, you will have a change in your petition, the way you petition before God. Here it says in verse 8, he says, verse 7 to 12. You got it? It says, listen, God, I'm calling at the top of my lungs. Be good to me. Answer me. When my heart whispered, seek God, my whole being replied, I'm seeking him. Don't hide from me now. You've always been right there for me. Don't turn your back on me now. Don't throw me out. Don't abandon me. You've always kept the door open. My father and my mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. Point me down the highway, God. Direct me along a well-lighted street. Show my enemies whose side you're on. Don't throw me to the dogs, those liars who are out to get me, filling the air with their threats. There is a change in your petition when you wait on God. You see, seeking God's face is coming to the truth more and more. Why do we seek God? Why do we worship God? Because we want to find out God's truth. We want to see his face. We want to come to truth more and more. Truth. This is so good when I read this. Truth is not born with us. Truth is not born with us. We need to seek truth. Truth needs to be sought. That's why in verse 8, the psalmist say, seek his face. And then he says, your face, Lord, I will seek. We will not be full of truth when we just allow ourselves, you know, free and easy. You will not come to truth. Truth of God needs to be sought. So when you wait on God, you begin to see truth being revealed to you. You begin to see maybe the truth of your own nature so that you know how to repent. Maybe you see the truth of God's nature, so you know how to wait. Truth needs to be sought. And so what is very good here is that you seek God in truth. We say, seek God in truth and in spirit. Seek God in truth. I was listening to Eugene Peterson, the Message Bible, the one who wrote the Message Bible. And before he died, he had an interview with Bono. Bono really loved his the way he talked about Psalms. Bono is the, I think, composer and also musician in U2, the band. And so Bono came to visit Eugene Peterson and had an interview with, you can actually see this on YouTube. What is very interesting, what Bono said was this. He says, sometimes we are afraid of being brutally honest. He says, we are afraid of rawness. And Bono says, the reason why I like the Psalms written by Eugene Peterson was this. He says, being brutally honest is the root to great songs. When we wait on God, you can be raw and you can be brutally honest with God. That's why we come to God in prayer. If we are so sophisticated when we come to God in prayer, when we are really not so sophisticated, or when we are really down in the valley, then we're not being true to ourselves and not being true before God. When we come before God, we come in truth. And that's why the psalmist says before God, he says, do not hide your face from me. God, I feel that you are hiding your face from me. Do not hide your face from me. Psalmist says, I will be so rejected, oh God, if you hide from me. Wow, that's really raw. Do we speak to God like that? Well, we are told to worship God in truth. And it says here, it says, God, do not turn your servant away in anger. It's almost as if he felt the anger of God. And he says, oh God, don't leave me alone. Don't turn away from me in anger. I will be so forsaken if you hide away from me. In the psalm, he says, don't reject me. Don't forsake me. He says, my father and my mother already forsaken me. And of course, if you read the history of David, you know there was a time when he had to leave his parents because he was running away. He says, oh God, my father and my mother have left me. Oh God, don't leave me. I will be so rejected. I will be so forsaken, Lord, if you leave me. That's very raw. That's brutally honest. And then he says, don't turn me over to the desires of my enemies, because my enemies are false witnesses. They are liars. And they're going to come against me. And they're going to accuse me. They're going to rise up against me. I will be gone, oh God, if I fall into their hands. It's like, God, protect me. Wow. It is like flopping ourselves into the arms of Jesus and say, Jesus, just hide me. You're my fortress. Oh God, you help me. You're my guardian. You got to come to me. I really need emergency help. You are the helper. It's like flopping yourself into the arms of Jesus. That's exactly what the psalmist did. You experience the emotions and you express them before God when you wait on God. No suppression, no repression. You don't put everything inside. You don't flee from God. Some people, when you have got issues, you flee from God. Some of us, when we have issues with God, we fight with God. Or we freeze. We say, oh God, you're not for me. You're always against me. And it's like, I'm frozen with fear before you. See, so sometimes life is so hard. We are scared of the devil. We're also scared of God. Whoa, life must be so hard. And scared of everybody around us. Whoa, life is extra hard. Sometimes we're also scared of ourselves. It's too hard. It's to come before God in truth. Wow, I pray that this Psalm 27 will challenge us to be real with God. Because if you tell God everything, all your rawness and your brutally honest emotions, you don't spill them out in the public life. Some people tell everybody their rawness of their public, of their private life in public, because they've got nowhere to go to tell all these things to. I tell God everything so that I spare you of the rawness of all my emotions. Tell God, God, don't hide from me. God, don't be angry. Don't deal with me when you're angry. Tell him in truth. But we don't just worship God in truth, we also worship Him in spirit. That's why in the same interview, the professor of Fuller, I think associate professor of Fuller Seminary, if I'm not wrong, said this. He says, yeah, we can engage our emotions, but we don't indulge in them. You tell God everything, you express to God everything, the rawness, the brutally honest emotions. You engage God, you tell God that, but you don't indulge in them. It's not like you tell God already, then you go back again, and then you wallow, you know? You know, like, sometimes you've got some of those animals, huh? They are so clean already. You clean them so well, and then they go back again to the mud. They go back again to the sand to wallow again. Don't wallow. You tell God everything, and then the Bible tells us that you also worship Him in spirit. You see what David, the psalmist, did is so amazing. That's why he can go through so many difficult things in his life and still be known as the one whom God loves. Because he acknowledged God for who He is. He gave them over to God, then he acknowledged God for who He is. I'm doing a summary for you now. I've found out 7 things about God there that you can actually worship Him in His spirit. He says, oh God, I feel this. I feel abandoned. I feel rejected. But oh God, You have been my helper. Oh God, You have always been right there for me. All that in Psalm 27, yeah? Go look up, do homework. God, You took me in. God, You received me. God, You pointed me down the highway. God, You directed me along a well-lighted street. God, You showed my enemies on whose side You are on. You see, by the time you finish this prayer, I'm telling you, you will feel so liberated. That's why this morning we had the song on the fire of God. The fire of God is not to burn you, condemn you, like make you burned. The fire of God comes and sets you free. So when you come before the presence of God, your petition is changed because you can engage with God. You let Him know all your raw emotions, but you don't wallow in your raw emotions. You give them over to God and you say, oh God, I worship You in spirit, for You are my helper. You are the one who pointed me down this well-lighted path. I've got new possibilities. I've got new vision. I've got new horizon. The future looks good. Because Psalmist says, I am confident of this. There is goodness in the land of the living. Today, if you feel, there is no appearance of good in this world, you are really being very negative. Because the Bible tells us, I am confident of this. The psalmist says, there is good in the land of the living. You just have to wait in hope. In the meantime, change your petition. Be in relationship with God. Change your poise so that you don't get worried all the whole time. Focus on the Lord. And the Bible tells us the fruit of that waiting in hope is patience. And when we were at the ladies' meeting the other day, Pastor Pauline gave this beautiful scripture verse in James 1:4. This is the whole reason why you need to wait. And that is, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. Amen. Let us pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.